السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. Last lesson, three Saturdays ago, in this series of looking at the names of Allah and His attributes, we looked in some depth at the name of Allah, Al-Alim. Al-Alim, the most knowledgeable. And we looked at some of the names of Allah that are closely related to this name, such as As-Sami', the all-hearing, Al-Basir, the all-seeing. Today we are going to continue this discussion, but we are going to take a different angle at Allah's name, Al-Alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
He says in this verse, Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth in six days, and then He ascended upon the throne. He knows what enters the earth and what exits from it, and what descends from the sky and what ascends up to it. And He is with you wherever you are, and Allah is for all things, He's all seeing. In this verse, there's one portion, one sentence of this verse that concerns us in this lesson. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. So first question to the mashayikh, does this mean Allah is physically with us wherever we are? No. What does it mean? If Allah is not physically with us, what does it mean? He's with us in His knowledge. This is a consensus, an ijma' of the Salaf, that this verse does not mean Allah is physically with us wherever we are. People have mistaken this idea. They say God is everywhere or Allah is everywhere. It's a mistaken idea. But Allah's knowledge, yes, Allah's knowledge is everywhere, wherever we are. But there's something beautiful in this verse. He says in this verse, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, He is with you. And in other verses in the Quran, Allah also mentions more specifically, وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is with the patient. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah is with the God-fearing. What does it mean to live life with Allah? This is really what we want to understand in today's lesson. Allah has other names closely associated with Al-Alim. One of them is Allah's name, Ar-Raqib. Who can tell me the one ayah in which Ar-Raqib is mentioned in the Quran? This is the meaning of Ar-Raqib, the one who observes. We will go into the meaning, but which ayah in the Quran did the name Ar-Raqib come in? Famous ayah, most Jum'ah khutbahs we say this ayah. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. In the beginning of? No, this is too difficult. Huh? Surah An-Nisa, beginning of Surah An-Nisa. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. And also elsewhere in the Quran, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Isa alayhi salam says to Allah, Oh Allah, when you took me away, you became the raqib over them. What does it mean to be a raqib? Raqaba in the Arabic language, raqib, raqib, is one who observes from a distance. But not observes from a distance in order to, some people they watch you from a distance because they're waiting for you to make a mistake. They want to catch you out, right? Like the speeding camera. The speeding camera is not waiting to see who is the most beautiful driver. It's waiting to find out who is committing the mistakes. That's what it's for. A raqib does not look in this sense. A raqib is one who watches or who's looking or who's observing to protect you, to keep you safe. That's a raqib. And so muraqib tends to be in an exam, invigilator, or a security guard. You use the similar word for these ideas. One who is protecting you, one who is watching to protect you. And so Allah's name Al-Alim in this instance. One way to live with this name Al-Alim is to know that, as they say in the English language, you know, when there's somebody who's always looking, watching out for you, looking to protect you, they say, this person has got my back. One way to live with this name Al-Raqib is to remember Allah is always, He always has your back. He's always watching out for you to protect you. One of the examples of this idea in the Quran is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a small group of believers, and his enemies are many, larger in number, more powerful in ammunition, more powerful in political alliances, larger geography that they own. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always feeling he is going to be overpowered. He's outnumbered. How is he going to be able to stand up to them? And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comforts him with this idea. Allah says, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah is going to protect you. Allah is going to suffice you. He will be enough for you against all of them. You may not have the tools, you may not have the numbers, you may not have the resources, but Al-Raqib, Al-Alim is watching over you. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, Allah says, we are watching you carefully, O Prophet of Allah. And really it is to understand this fact. You and me, we may be alone by ourselves, away from every CCTV camera, nobody is tracking us. But to feel in that moment of loneliness, in the moment of seclusion, that Allah is still watching us. And then in public, to feel as though Allah is watching us. Usually every single one of us, we have a big difference in how we look publicly, who we are publicly, and who we are privately. And having this much of a difference means, to some extent, we don't really think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Alim. We don't think He's watching us. We don't think He's hearing us. Because the moment human beings are perceiving us, they're seeing us, they're watching us, our behavior changes. And the moment we're on our own, our behavior changes. This ayah, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ, was one of the greatest sources of comfort and reassurance and peace for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who can tell me, how did Uthman ibn Affan die? Anybody know how he passed away? He was killed. Anyone knows what he was doing when he was killed? He was killed reading the Quran. So imagine this. Uthman ibn Affan is in his house. He's reading the Quran. He has the Mus'haf in front of him. And he has been told that people are out there to kill you. Many, many groups were out there to kill him. Somebody would enter the door of his house. Imagine. Someone freely entered the door of his house. And he would say to this person, بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, between you and me is the book of Allah. You still want to kill me? The Quran is in front of me. And that person would leave. And another person came. And he would say, between you and me is the book of Allah. You sure you want to murder me? And he would leave as well. Until eventually, they say the Misriyun came in. And he came in and he assassinated Uthman ibn Affan. And the blood of Uthman ibn Affan, in all the history books that we have access to, the blood of Uthman ibn Affan fell on one word in the Mus'haf. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. The blood of Uthman falls on the verse where Allah says, we will look after you and protect you from all of them. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is enough for you, and He is the hearing and the knowing. That means, however he died, whoever was against him, whoever was whispering in the background, trying to plot against him, Allah heard all of it. And who was going to kill him that day, and how he was going to end up, and where he was going to go, Allah was fully knowing of that. Knowing that Allah is Al-Alim allows you to let go of everything out of your control. We try to worry about so many things that we can't control. The economy is not in your control. The weather is not in your control. People are not in your control. We cannot control the behavior of other people. Someone hurt you. Someone abused you. Someone's not speaking to you. Someone scammed you. We cannot control this. But it is enough for us to know and to sleep at night with peace, knowing what? Al-Alim knows it all. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he's in the prison, when this group of women is plotting against him, he keeps repeating this idea, Inna Rabbaka Alimun Hakim. My Lord is knowing. He is Alim. He knows every movement. You can plot, you can plan, but Al-Alim knows what you are doing before you have done it. And before you plan to execute it, he knows how it was going to be executed. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ Allah is sufficient for you, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Living with Allah's name, Al-Alim, means that every time we wake up in the morning, we have to refresh in our minds this idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. He is protecting us. He is recording every moment. And there are things that we will never say in the back of our minds, and Allah knows that as well. And Allah Al-Alim is so powerful that sometimes you don't even open your mouth to ask Allah, but He will respond to your dua. And in the Quran, there is an example of somebody. They didn't even ask Allah for something and He responded to their dua. Does anybody know? Somebody, one of the prophets of Allah in the Quran, they did not even make dua to Allah, but Allah knew deep down they wanted something, so He gave it to them. Who can tell me? Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجَهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see you keep looking up at the sky. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Qibla, the direction of prayer, was towards Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine, Jerusalem, he used to want to pray towards the Kaaba, but he never vocalized it, he never said it out loud. He would just look up at the sky and then he would continue his day. He would not ask Allah for this explicitly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we are seeing you, O Muhammad. You keep looking up at the sky. We know deep down in your heart what you want. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا We will turn you in a direction that you are happy with. How do you get to this level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to your du'as, your deepest, most sincere requests, without you even asking Him? In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that the way to get to this situation, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed to him that the most beloved thing that we can do to come close to Allah is His obligations. And then we continue to get closer to Him with optional acts of worship until we reach a level where Allah loves us. Hatta uhibba. And when we reach a level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا إِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَا إِن اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ If you are to ask Allah for anything, He will give it to you. And if you ask Him to protect you from anything, He will protect you. It requires a relationship. To get that kind of response from Allah, we have to up our game. The greatest and the highest level of having a relationship with Allah, al-ihsan, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined it. How did he define al-ihsan? To worship Allah as though you see Him. And if not, then at least to worship Allah as though He sees you. In this world, we are watched by so many people. When we go out from our houses, we beautify ourselves for people. Allah told us to do this in the Quran. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ Beautify yourself when you go to the masjid, right? But we would never dress at home the way we dress in public. Right? It may even be that for some of us, the way we treat our family members, our spouses, our children, our cousins, we would never treat our friends and our acquaintances that way. We can get away with a lot of that with our friends and family. They'll take it from us because nobody else is watching. We get away with it. Who you really are, really, really and truly who you are, you know it deep down. Because it is who you are when nobody is watching. What we are comfortable with doing or saying or feeling when nobody is watching. That moment we do something, we miss a salah and we just check, was anybody there? And we feel relief that nobody was watching. That is the sign we have not internalized the name of Allah, Al-Alim. One of the Salaf, they narrate this report, this story. I don't know if it's authenticity. That a man came to one of the early scholars of Islam. And he asked him, he said to him, I have committed zina, I have fornicated. Is it possible for Allah to forgive me? So that he said, of course, Allah can forgive any sin except shirk, as long as you come sincerely to Him. So he became so happy, he smiled and he walked away. And then he stopped in his tracks. And he turned around and he came back. And he grabbed the scholar by the shoulders and he asked him, Allah will forgive me, but while I was doing that deed, was He watching me? And the scholar said, yes, He was watching you. And this man who asked the question fell unconscious in that moment. The realization that Allah was watching us while we disobeyed Him, while we disregarded Him, this creates within ourselves another idea, al-haya'u min Allah, to feel ashamed in front of Allah, to feel embarrassed in front of Allah, to be embarrassed of ourselves and who we are and what we have done, knowing that really Allah was watching us while we were doing it. And if we don't feel that feeling, if we don't feel that consciousness, that pain that Allah was watching me, really He was watching me while I was doing that, He knows really who I am. If we don't feel that shame, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتِ. If you don't have haya, if you don't have a shame from Allah, embarrassment, shyness from Allah, you will do whatever you want. In the late 19th century, there was a man by the name of Phineas Gage. This man was driving a truck, and while he was driving a truck, I think a building fell down and an iron rod, a metal rod, went through his brain. Went from one side and came out on the other side. A real historical fact in the late 19th century. He was a truck driver and a metal rod went through his brain from one side to the other side. Eventually, they removed this metal piece. They did surgery on him. After a few years, they were monitoring him carefully. Everything seemed to be fine. Imagine, he lost a chunk of his brain. But over time, he was able to heal. Everything seemed to be, but one thing was different. For some reason, this man, he would keep swearing and cursing using bad language in gatherings. He would dress in a way at outside the way he would dress at home. He would behave strangely. He would insult, he would abuse people, and this was not his character beforehand. The scientists, they looked at his situation and they said, a metal rod went through his head. The only thing he lost was his ability to feel shame, his haya. And any human being who loses that shame and embarrassment and shyness and that feeling that I'm being watched, I should behave differently, I should behave appropriately, I should be respectful. If you lose this, you have really lost a part of your brain. You have lost a part of you. Your soul is broken. And we live in a society where there is no haya anymore. There's no shame anymore. There's no shyness anymore. People tell you, do whatever you want. Don't worry. Don't fear. But really what Al-Aleem is telling us is, are you really comfortable that while you did what you did and you saw what you saw and you said what you said, Allah was watching you the whole time? Does that sit well with you? And this is where that feeling of shame, when you look at the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them, although they are perfect, although they are free of sin, they all had that shame. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up at night and he prays the entire night until his feet are swollen. And when Aisha radiallahu anha asks him the golden question, why do you pray at night when your previous and your future sins have all been forgiven? What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Afala akuna abdan shakura. How can I not be grateful to Allah? There is a deep sense of shame in front of Allah. That no matter what we do, we can never do enough. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and recording everything that we do. Any company in the UK, every year they have to submit their accounts, their finances. What did they spend? And what did they save? And where is the money? Every year. And because they know that there is a date in the year when the taxes have to be filed, they start to run to collect all of the information. But because they know that they can get away with some things, every company across the world, they try to avoid paying taxes as much as possible. Because they know every shop that you go to that says cash only, you know why they are accepting cash only? You don't have to show everything to the tax man. If it's cash, it's invisible. It's not in the records, it's not in the papers. We do this in every aspect of life. We are scared when it comes to the regulators. When the charity commission has to visit a charity. When the HMRC has to visit a company and see where is the money and where are the taxes. We shake. When Ofsted visits a school, I still remember this from my primary school days. I'm sure all of you remember this. When the inspectors come to the school, that is the best day of the year in the school. The teachers are dressed differently, the lessons. I had one teacher. Every year when the inspectors would come, he would teach the same lesson. I said, Sheikh, we are in grade 9 now. You are teaching the same thing from grade 7. Now, that was the lesson. That was the day for the inspectors. When they come, this is the lesson he wants to teach. All of us as human beings, we are like that. When the inspectors come, when the regulators come, we jump and run. We act. We pull out all of the tricks in the book to impress, to look good in front of the inspectors. Think about this in your own personal lives. The first day that a man goes to visit a woman potentially for marriage, the way she is dressed that day and the way he is dressed that day, they are never going to dress the same way again in their lives. They want to impress. They dress to impress. Your best face forward. The tea that is made that day for this potential suitor, the curry, the rice that's made, it's never going to taste the same way again in the household. That is the best version you are ever going to see. If even it was cooked by the wife in the first place. We always try to impress people. But it should shame us that we never try to impress Allah. يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. You can hide from people, but you can never hide from Allah. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. And he was with them in that moment where they were speaking words that didn't please him. He was with them. He was watching them. But not for a moment did they try to impress him. Not for a moment did they try to please him. Not for a moment did they dress up for him. This is the tragedy of not knowing Al-Aleem. And Al-Aleem in the Quran, sometimes Allah brings it in pairs with another name, Al-Haleem, the tolerant. It's amazing, he knows so much about us and he tolerates so much about us. He watches our movements, he sees our behaviors, he sees our speech, and still he gives us oxygen to breathe. This is Al-Haleem. He's so tolerant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَوْ يُؤَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّ. If Allah really were to punish us for the deeds that we did, there would be no human being on this earth. No living being would exist on this earth if we got what we deserved. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so tolerant, so generous, so forgiving, He gives us time, He delays, He lets it go. We are scared of the taxman because we know that no penny will not be accounted for. Teachers are scared of the inspectors because they know their job is at stake. But when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we know the consequences of His ilm? Do we know that there will come a day in which we will stand in front of Him? لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Not a tiny deed, nor a large deed will be forgotten. It will all be recorded. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. Really imagine yourself in this situation. That you get your book of deeds, this book that you and I have authored. We'll get it. And every single thing we did is written. We never realized that to that extent it was written. The smallest things, a small glance, a white lie, a word, a sentence that was said, everything is there. Imagine your feeling as you take that book of deeds. Imagine how you will feel as you read on that moment, on that day, that you and me, we displeased Allah. We knew He was watching us. We did not care. Imagine how you will feel on that day. That is what we need to remember every moment. The standing in front of Allah. Al-Aleem reminds us that while we may get away in this world, that our judgment and our inspection and our auditing and our taxes will be counted on the Day of Judgment. Umar ibn Khattab, he used to frequently remind us, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. You inspect yourself now before the biggest inspection. وَزِنُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَنُوا. Weigh your deeds today before they will be weighed. This is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at the quantity of deeds that we do. He looks at the weight of these deeds. This is part of Al-Alim, Al-Sami' Al-Basir. Al-Alim does not just look at the outward deed, but he looks at really what's inside the heart. I'll give you an example. Many of us, we think Hajj is a very big deal. How much does Hajj cost today? Right, over 5,000 pounds. Yeah, 8,000 pounds, subhanAllah, I'm before the inflation curve. Someone saves for years and years and years, and then they pay all of their money and they go to Hajj. We've done this big deed. Weeks in the heat, tired, exhaustion, shave our hair. We come back, we think we've done such a huge thing. But we know that Hajj has very strict conditions. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. No, don't argue. No intimacy. Right? No sin while you're in Hajj. How many of us? How many mistakes you make in Hajj? And how many of us go to Hajj only to arrive at the Kaaba and to start a live stream? Yes, I reached the black stone. It's not about experiencing the Hajj, but it's about taking selfies with the black stone while being punched in the face. If you got close to the black stone, definitely you would be punched in the face. There's no way to escape it. There's a wrestling match next to the black stone. إِلَى قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. You cannot get away from this. But how many of us go to Hajj, this big deed? We think it's big. On the outside, it's a very big deal. A lot of money, a lot of time. But we are not there really for the sake of Allah. We're there to tick a box. I went to Hajj. Now call me Hajji from tomorrow. And on the contrary, how many people do very small deeds, small things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it a very heavy weight on the Day of Judgment. Allah says in the Quran, actually you tell me, where does Allah say this in the Quran? That you may do something small, but Allah may consider it very large. Surah An-Nur. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. You may consider it small. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And what was Allah referring to in Surah An-Nur was when all of the believers in Medina were backbiting about Aisha radiallahu anha. They were slandering her behind her back. They thought it was just a word, just a rumor that was spread. You know, you meet your neighbor. Do you know what was happening? You know what that person did? Do you know? Those two got divorced. And it's a small thing, a small story. You don't think very much of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thought very much of it. And how many more of those deeds are there? Al-Alim doesn't look at the outward deed. He looks at what was inside your heart when you did the deed. Inna Allaha la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah does not look at your images. Wala ila ajsamikum, nor your bodies. Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Al-Alim, he looks at the depths of your heart. How sincere were you when you did that deed? When you gave that sadaqah? When you smiled at that person? When you came for salah? How much in your heart was this is for Allah, and how much was this, I'm doing this because my friend told me to. I want someone to think of me in this way. How much of it was for Allah? Al-Alim knows. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows the depths and what is hidden within the hearts. Sometimes we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves we're doing this for Allah. We tell ourselves that we're sincere. But deep down, when we are on our own, we know the real reasons why we did what we did. But Allah knows before that. And He knows after that. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. What was the effect of Allah's name Al-Alim on the Prophet's companions? One example, just one example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in front of him, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they have an argument. They raise their voices. One narration states that a tribe came to the Prophet, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told his companions, you choose a leader from them. So Abu Bakr said that person, and Umar said that person. Abu Bakr said, you just like to disagree with me. And Umar said, you just like to disagree. And they started shouting in front of the Prophet. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal at this point in time? Good. Do not raise your voice in front of the Prophet. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voice in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't talk in front of him like you talk to each other. Now, This verse came down as Quran. Do you know what happened the next day? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, in all of Medina, whenever he spoke, he would whisper. Allah said, don't raise your voice just in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But him knowing Allah is watching him in every moment, him cautious and fearing that any moment in time the Prophet may be near him, wherever he went in Medina, he would whisper. He would whisper out of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is really the definition of ihsan, the highest spiritual state, to live in this world knowing Allah is watching you. Knowing that our deeds count, knowing that our sincerity matters, not just the outward deed, but really the sincerity of that deed. And most of all, knowing فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching out for you. I want to focus on this last point for a little while. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the cave of Thawr, and he sees on top of him a group of disbelievers who have been on a bounty hunt for his head. And who's with him in the cave? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And in this moment in time, this happens to all of us. When we get stressed out, when we get scared, when we see an enemy, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and looking after us. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, in that moment, he gets scared. And he says, O Prophet of Allah, if they look down at their feet, we are finished. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds him, Ya Abu Bakr, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think if I told you that we are two, but there's a third one amongst us? Allah, Allah is with us. Knowing Allah is with you is a comfort. When all the enemies gang up against you, when all of the world is telling you things are going to go bad, you knowing that there is the Almighty Protector, Ar-Raqib, who is watching and He has your back, He's looking after you. In that moment, Allah was watching out for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes to teach us and to show us that He's watching out for us, Allah brings the evil this close to us and then He takes it away. How many of us have stared death in the face? It happened to me once. I'm standing on the edge of a road and I'm about to step on the road and a truck smashes into a car. I'm about to step onto the road. By a hair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me. How many of us, we've all experienced things like this, where Allah brings us close to death, close to destruction, close to the thing we fear the most, and then He saves us. And He does that only to remind us, فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا, Allah is watching and He's looking after you. Many people, they live underneath these conspiracy theories. They think that there's a small group of people who are running the world. This pyramid, one eye, this group of people, they control everything. They control the rents and the economies and the banks and everything. And when they discuss this idea and they share it with their friends, it creates in them this fear. This fear that there are a small group of people who control everything. But Al-Alim teaches us something different. Al-Raqib, Al-Shaheed, Al-Sami' Al-Basir. Is that no matter who we think is in control, however small, however large, however powerful, however powerless, really ultimately Allah is the one in control. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La yaghurrannaka taqallubu alladhina kafaru fil bilad." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's watching from Medina and he's seeing groups of disbelievers, large armies, 150 people going here, going there, and he's thinking, "I'm so powerless. They're so strategic and I have nothing." Allah says to the Prophet, don't be deceived and fooled by their movements. They can move as much as they want. Mata'un qaleel, they will have a short term of power and then they will come back to Allah. Any powerful person, any powerful group, any bank, any institution, any government, whoever it is, on this earth they may get away with dhulm, oppressing other people. But there is a time in which they will have to face Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't ever think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors are doing.
إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار.
He is just making them wait for a day in which their eyes will tremble in front of Allah. When we look at the situation in the Muslim world around us, we see so much oppression. So much oppression in the world around us. And our heart breaks. It may be our homelands that we are talking about, the places of our fathers and our grandparents. And when we look at them and the situation they're in and the destruction they're in, it breaks our heart. But this is the ayah that comforts you. Al-Alim knows what's happening and he knows what is going to happen. And he's not going to let them go for even an atom's worth of oppression on the Day of Judgment. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think Allah is unaware of what they are doing. Living with the name Al-Alim, the last point I want to say, it gives you confidence in life to go ahead and charge. When the Muslims are in battle, whether it's the battle of Badr, whether it's the battle of Uhud, whichever battle they are in, what gives them the confidence knowing that they have the lower hand, they have less power, less ammunition, less resources? It's only one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. He's helping them. He's supporting them.
وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ.
Allah says, remember when Allah helped you in Badr when you were small in number. How did the believers win? How did the believers win at Uhud? How did the believers win at Hunain? Was it power? Was it marketing skills? Was it ammunition? Was it money? What really got them across the line? Allah reminds them, it was me who was with you. That's why you passed. Many of us, we have many obstacles in front of us in life. We're trying to pass an exam. Some of us trying to get married. May Allah help you all. We're all trying to climb a different mountain in life. Don't forget, every obstacle, every enemy, every difficulty, the only thing that's going to make us succeed and win and pass is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Al-Alim. He knows what it's going to take. And the moment we think it's me that's going to get us through, this is when we will fail. This is one of the reasons why the Muslims failed at Uhud. They started to think that strength was in numbers, not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so knowing Allah is Al-Alim, it gives us reassurance and comfort in front of our enemies. Knowing Allah is Al-Alim, it makes us prepare, like our inspection, our MOT, our regulation, our tax assessment is tomorrow. Because it is tomorrow. It is today. That assessment is going on every second. Knowing Allah is Al-Alim, we reach out to Him in dua because we know He is As-Sami'ul Alim. He hears even the words that we don't have the strength to say to Him. Knowing Allah is Al-Alim, the All-Knowledgeable, we feel as though He is with us, even when we are alone. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all by himself in the darkness of the cave, he remembered Allah is with him, even though he is alone. Knowing as Allah is Al-Alim, it helps us to try be sincere. Because we know that we can wear as many hats as we want, have the longest beard that we want, try to show our religiosity as much as we want. But Allah knows what is hidden in the heart, the real reason we are doing what we are doing. And we can never escape that reality in front of Allah. He knows the true you. He knows the true you, not the you on social media, not the you that people think you are, but He knows the real you. And when we realize that, Al-Alim makes us ashamed in front of Him. He makes us break down in front of Him. Makes us have haya, embarrassment in front of Him. Knowing that whatever we do, whatever we sin, however we disobey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there and He knew every detail of that while we did it. And if that isn't enough to break our heart, if that isn't enough to make us tear up in front of Allah, then our hearts are hard beyond savior. This is how we can live with the name Al-Alim. And there are other names similar. We said Al-Raqib, the one who observes and protects, the watchful protector. Al-Sami', the all-hearing. Al-Basir, the all-seeing. Al-Khabir, the one who knows the hidden information that you keep. All of this comes around the same idea. We should live like today is our inspection. We should live like today is our MOT. And nothing will slide by. Nothing can be hidden. No tax can be avoided in the sight of Allah. حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Weigh your deeds before Allah weighs them. جزاكم الله خيرا والعفو منكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.